In Australia, we have quite an anthropocentric view of environmental law and how it works, so a human-centred approach. But there is an emerging field around the world known as wild law or earth jurisprudence. Obviously, it's not really a new thing because it's, you know, got roots in the relationships of Indigenous cultures and the environment going back thousands and thousands of years. But in modern times, it's a philosophy that's about law and human governance that's based on the idea that humans are only one part of the earth community, and the welfare of each member of that community is dependent on the welfare of the earth as a whole.
Is there anywhere in the world where environmental law, or that wild law jurisprudence, is really ingrained in their legal system?
Yeah, South America is doing some really positive things in the wild law space. Ecuador was the first country to recognise the rights of nature in its constitution. The Bolivian legislation, there's actually a law called the Act of the Rights of Mother Earth, which was made in 2010. And even our neighbours, New Zealand, have recognised the rights of rivers and forests in connection with traditional Maori custodians in the past couple of years.
Bloody New Zealanders, they're ahead of us on everything. Can you see Australia ever doing something like that, having the environment as part of our constitution?
Maybe. Our constitution is quite short and really just has the effect of, you know, giving the states and the federal government rights to make laws about certain types of things. So I think if it was to happen in Australia, it would be a long way off. But we do have a really diverse body of environmental laws as is, but they are, as I said, anthropocentric and human focused.
How much of environmental law in Australia is governed by federal law, and how much of it is based on whatever the states want to do?
The majority of environmental law is state-based, but there is the overarching Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, which is the Commonwealth Government's act that came in 1999. And what that effectively does is operationalise our obligations under international law, so Biodiversity Convention and, you know, World Heritage and all of those agreements that we've signed and agreed to within the UN and international agreements. So the EPBC Act gives rise to those. But when it comes to the day-to-day management of the environment, planning, pollution, native vegetation, biodiversity, most of that is governed by the states.
So let's talk about New South Wales. If you had to give it a rating out of 10, how good are we at protecting our environment?
The laws that we've got at the moment are actually pretty good, but there have been moves recently to actually really step backwards from these strong environmental protections that we've had for the past 15, 20 years. One example of that would be the current Native Vegetation Act, which was brought in to address really wide-scale problems with clearing of native vegetation around the state. It was brought in following an independent review and lots of advice was gotten, and it's been really effective in actually protecting native vegetation and biodiversity around the whole of the state.
So is that stopping a clearing for things like farming?
Yeah, it doesn't. There's a really broad range of activities that can still be undertaken under the Native Veg Act, routine agricultural management activities, so things like fencing and clearing for certain agricultural activities. You can also enter into agreements so that you set aside certain areas of your land for conservation and are able to clear others. But importantly, the current laws still say no to inappropriate clearing or over-clearing or broad-scale clearing as it's currently known in the laws.
And you said that they're winding back those laws. So what are they proposing?
Yeah.
What have they done?
There's a new law that's passed Parliament just last month called the Biodiversity Conservation Act and the Local Land Services Amendment Act. And what these do are really remove a number of these long-held and really important protections for native veg and biodiversity in New South Wales.
What are the community concerns with this act?
The community is really concerned that, you know, the current native vegetation laws have been really strong. They've been really effective. They've actually, you know, helped Australia to meet its targets under the Kyoto Protocol because of the carbon capture and storage qualities in native vegetation. They're concerned about the flow-on impacts of removing vegetation when it comes to threatened species, so the little furries like koalas, but also other species that are depending on native vegetation as habitat. They're the main concerns.
If we're going to be really cynical, we kind of have to work in a legal framework or in an economic framework. Mm-hmm. to fix the environment. What do you think is more effective?
I think it's probably the multifaceted approach. Obviously, the law doesn't exist in a vacuum, so we do have to look at the economy and also the social factors as well. When it comes to climate change and planning for climate change in New South Wales, we actually put a report out early this year called Planning for Climate Change. And it talks about how we would like to see in the legal framework to actually plan for climate change. So within the planning system, within the other environmental laws, within policies around, you know, sustainable energy development, but also planning and development on areas that may be impacted by climate change.
So best case scenario, what would you like to see in New South Wales legal-wise to protect the environment?
We would love to see strong environmental laws that are administered in a way that actually does protect the environment. We'd also like to see continued community input into how our environmental laws work, but also community access to environmental justice.